Good morning, Fossum. We'll now are getting ready for attack by Alesh. I would kindly ask you if you could sit closer to the middle so newcomers can sit, can have an easier time in sitting. Thank you. Was his reference to this as defragmentation, which I think is very appropriate. Thank you. Okay, everyone ready? So we'll be having Alesh Paul, current president of KDE, talking about the challenges and history of KDE after 30 years, almost 30 years. So please give him a warm welcome.
Sure, as you say. Yeah, thank you very much. I am really glad to be here with you today because, well, Potsdam is always a big opportunity for us free software communities to get together. And, well, when thinking about what to talk about or what to do this year, I wanted to say me, but like it wasn't really me. It was Albert's idea that we could talk about our 30th anniversary. Throughout the year, we will be doing different events and activities explaining about or celebrating our anniversary. And I guess that, at least for me, this is my first stepping stone. Our anniversary is going to be in October this year. And actually, this is what my talk is going to be about. Normally, my background is in the software development, and that's normally what I talk about things I've been working on, specifically about that feature and so on. But this is not the talk we're going to have today. I hope you're fine with that. What I wanted to talk today about is to reflect a little bit on these years of KDE, of how it has worked. Obviously, when KDE started, I was in middle school and completely unaware, not only about what free software was, but software altogether. Well, here we are these days. Yes. So I don't want to give you the weird, boring talk about, and in 1997 happened this and that. But I think that we still need to go back to the very beginning, the announcement. This is the subject of the email. If you put this text online, you will get it quickly in a news group channel for Linux in Germany in 1996. So about 30 years ago from Matthias, where he said, I want to work on this thing I call the cool desktop environment, and these are the things I would like to be working on. His vision originally was, well, quite feet on the ground in that he saw that a lot of technologies were getting in place for, well, whoever to put together user experience for Linux that was graphical, that was accessible. I think that he mentioned something along the lines of, I want my girlfriend to be able to use Linux and it's not really ready, so how can I like sit down and work on that together? And well, at this point, he saw that there was this cute thing floating around. It looked like it could do the job, so he started like connecting the dots and I'm sure doing a big ton of work to make it happen. This was only the kickstart of the project. Obviously, a lot happened, especially in the first years. If you look at the history, you see that a lot of the things that we're still using nowadays happened early on. And well, we've been doing a lot of maintaining and enhancing all of that, but still interesting to see, like, for example, our Wayland compositor, like you saw on the last talk. It was one of the components that Matthias started back then, and it has changed a lot. Many maintainers, many developers have passed through it and, well, broken and fixed it over time. But yeah, there's this legacy. on a more vision perspective, well, we've been trying to enhance it. For example, we don't talk about cool desktop environment anymore. Not because we're not cool, but probably we're not cool enough to pull off cool with a K like that. So eventually we came up, well, now we're just KDE. It's not an acronym anymore. We're not a desktop environment. Desktop is also a deprecated concept in many aspects. Like, not many of us are using desktop computers anymore. We still call laptops desktop computers, and then we have phones, and we have convertibles, and all of that. And all of these are things that we are trying to tackle. But so, yeah. And also, not our desktop is not called KDE anymore, like you very well know. It's called Plasma these days. And yeah, KDE is the community that we are doing. And as KDE, well, this is our official vision these days, a world in which everyone has control over their digital life and enjoys freedom and privacy. These are a lot of the topics that we want to address when we work on our different products. And well, it explains quite well what we are about. If you're interested about on this, we have it thoroughly explained on our many wikis with strategy and mission statements and all of that. But the LDR, we are a lot of contributors though who sit down and put together a bunch of cool software with C this time. Trying to zoom out a little bit and think about what this all has been about, I tried to put it together in a timeline. It's very sparse, doesn't really try to be complete at all, but I thought still would make sense to give it some context. So when Matthias started working on that cool desktop environment, people outside the Linux world were using Windows 95. Linux itself was just starting. Linux started in 1990, right? And when we see a bit of the pictures of what it looked like back then, it was quite reminiscent of all of that. And we've been evolving over time. On the very beginning, for example, we started putting a lot of effort in making sure that all of the foundations were ready. Obviously, KDE has also evolved alongside the internet. The internet back then wasn't what it is today, even though if you think about it, like many of the, like it resembles it a lot, but it obviously has exploded in complexity quite a bit. One of these big components that started in the first years was KHTML that famously became WebKit over time. Yeah, something that we have to offer to humanity, I guess, at this point. And yeah, it's free software because of KDE, not because of anything else. But for us, the important part wasn't, in any case, all of these smaller components. For us, the important thing was what we were delivering to the user. Much like when Matthias started, Matthias didn't start working on it, at least as far as I understand. I don't think I've ever met Matthias, to have a cool web rendering engine or a cool, I don't know, email client. What he wanted was an environment, a place where like one could boot your computer and start using Linux and be happy instead of thinking, oh, I need to use these weird things because I really like free software, right? So for this talk, I did a little bit the exercise of going through mostly Wikipedia and chasing after the different screenshots. This is a version of KDE 1.0. Something that I always find kind of interesting when I'm talking to the what we call the dinosaurs from back then, is that like they always find very specific differences between 1.0 and 0.1 and 0.3 and this kind of stuff. Well, again, I was in a different universe at those times. But well, if we look at it, I think that is something that is already quite familiar. Obviously, everything is super pixelated, but I think it's a desktop environment that we could start using any of us today and be moderately happy. So there's a dinosaur speaking over here. Right. So, well, this was the one, then the two. This was our mascot for a while until, well, we upgraded into a dragon, which is always better than any humans. Yeah, Gandalf. This was free. Actually, this was the first I used and I started contributing with. Depending on how you think about it, you could say it hasn't changed much. It also has changed a lot. You can see all of the graphical elements are much more polished, but the components, the concepts remain. After KD3, we had one of our biggest changes, at least when it comes to a desktop, which was we created Plasma. Plasma was created in a, well, other moment in history that was also very specific. Very much related to how Nokia decided for some time that Linux was cool and Qt was cool and all of us were cool, and they started working on a ton of technologies that, well, many of them we embraced, and this was what it looked back then. I think we can also again definitely see a big change on how like things are presented and how things look. But yeah, it also shows its time. Maybe it feels more modern to me because I use that one much more than any of the others, but I guess you can see that too. Here we can see, for example, a lot of more of like graphical, vector graphics. We can see a lot of like shadow and stuff. That's also after there was the graphics revolution, if you want, like we are already relying on OpenGL being present and properly accelerated and this kind of stuff, right? And this was then Plasma 5, which is the one that we were running until a couple of years back. This is one of the last screenshots. I guess that we can say that it's quite even similar to that one we have today. This was Plasma 6 at the very, I think it was 6.0, this one. But yeah, what we can see is that it's a lot of similar concepts that have been polished, that have been massaged over the years, and that have, well, made more accessible all of these using a computer to each one of us. Here I've only been showing, for example, only desktops.